All right, today we're going to continue our study in the book of James. And we're finally getting to chapter 2. And as we've been looking at James, James has been talking about genuine Christianity, practical faith. Practical faith that says that if you're a believer, you're going to act in certain ways. And in chapter 1, he said that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if your faith is real, then you'll know how to deal with trials and temptations. Trials are that which God allows or brings about or we put ourselves into. And if we are genuine in our Christian faith, we'll not run from those trials. We'll not necessarily go, yippee, I'm in trouble again. Not so what I'm saying. But that as we go through these trials, we'll do so in a way that honors God. And then there's the area of temptation. Again, my simple, for me, definition of temptation is that which goes on inside of me because of that which is going on outside of me. And it's Satan saying to me, God didn't say this. God didn't really mean that. God is just trying to keep you from being happy. And it's my battle against God's will for my life. And then he said, we looked at it last week, how we deal with the Word of God, how we personally deal with the Word of God will have everything to say with how we handle trials and temptation. And so he says, here's how you handle the Word of God. Remember, you study it carefully, you share it daily, and you stay in it always, forever. Well, today, we're going to go to chapter 2. And so what he's going to do is he's going to show us a very practical way that we can put into practice our genuine faith. And he's saying that if we have a proper relationship with the Word of God, then we're going to have a proper relationship with other people. And he's dealing with something that was very critical when he's writing this, and it's still so critical today. And that's showing partiality, showing favoritism. Now, please hear this. He's not saying you can't have good friends. He's not saying we're going to be drawn. We're automatically going to be drawn to certain people. That's just the way it is. He's not condemning that. He's not saying you can't have friends. But what he's talking about is that we properly love everyone. And in the text we're looking at today, he's primarily going to deal with giving preference to people of beauty, of wealth, of position. Let me read these verses, and then my poor wife. By the way, we're hoping very much. She had shoulder surgery, and we're hoping very much she'll be able to be here next week. She really wanted to come today, but she has MS. She has a sling, and when she has a sling off, she gets around pretty good. But when she has a sling on, she has no balance whatsoever. Now, if she didn't wear the sling, because you love her, you're going to hug her. And if you hug her, it's going to hurt. Or somebody like me is not going to think, and I'm going to come up behind her and pat her on the back. And then I'm going to have to pick her up off the floor. So anyway, our hope and our prayer is that she'll be here next week. She's really getting tired of... Yes, she's just really getting tired of I'll leave it there. I think you understand. All right, let me if you have your Bibles, please follow along. If not, it'll be on the screen. And James chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can't stand over there, now you can sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? And aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you You dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, then you're committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you're going to be judged by the law that sets you free. Hear this, please. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. I want us to, I know I'm always going to do this. One of these days, I just said we're going to see one thing. My mind just said, we're going to see three things. All right? Number one, in relationship to not showing partiality, he says that we need to look beyond the external. In verses 1 to 4, look beyond the external. It's interesting. He says, my brothers and sisters. He's addressing the church. He's addressing believers. Now, in that day, they had a custom. Now, remember, you got the Jewish and the Gentiles coming together. That's the church, okay? So you've got hardly any custom at all and way too much customs. So we're all coming together. Whole bunch of ceremony, no ceremony. Can you see any conflict? Oh, I do. It'd be like Hope Christian Church, where I went to church. We have mobile chairs. They could come in here, and they might be a little uncomfortable. You go there, and you're going to be real uncomfortable, maybe. You know, you go to church there, and the music's such a way, and they would come here, the music's another way. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we don't have to be Jew and Gentile. We can be Christian and Baptist. We can be Christian and Christian. You understand what I'm saying? So they were coming together with little tradition and a ton of it. And so what happened is, a lot of these ceremonies, the Jewish people continued to keep. Nothing wrong with some of them. One of the customs was that that some people had earned the right to be shown some respect. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. And so these people, maybe they were older, and people would say, well, you know, you don't hear very well, you don't see very well, we'll sit you toward the front. Now, the Pharisees loved this. Remember when we looked at Mark and we talked about that? Pharisees loved this. Remember, they're the ones that didn't just wear their robes to worship. They wore the robes wherever they went. So that when they went to a place and they're having a chicken dinner, they were seated at the very front, so they got the best part of the chicken. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. And so what would happen is the church came together, and so people of power, people of wealth, they would come in. And remember, the church is struggling. The church has been through all kinds of persecution. And the people who had a lot of money didn't have money anymore. Why? Well, because when they became, first of all, there was a persecution and all that, but also when a Jewish person became a Christian, what happened to them? The family declared them dead. They even had a funeral for them. How would you like to attend your own funeral? I'm not being the casket. I mean, that's what was happening. And so they had no money. They had nothing. So here they're coming into the church with even poorer people. So if somebody who had a lot of money and a lot of clout came in, what might you tend to do as an usher? Yeah. Boom, we give this guy precedence. So you take him in, and here's this guy that's really poor. His clothes are pretty dirty. He's got a pretty good place, and you say to him, and move over here. This is where this guy's going to sit. That's basically what was happening. And James is saying, when you show favor, and the word favor is an interesting word. It means to lift up one's face. The idea of it is to give this person preference because of their beauty or because of their wealth or because of their position. And he's saying, how in the world can you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, and how can you claim to follow after God when you show this kind of favoritism? You're forgetting Scripture. You're forgetting Deuteronomy 10:17. You're forgetting Romans 9:11, and on and on and on, where it says, God shows no partiality. God doesn't play favorites. And James is saying, you've got to begin to look beyond the external. You've got to look beyond the beauty. You've got to look beyond the dress. You've got to look beyond the power and the prestige, the position. You've got to look beyond that. And if you're claiming to be genuine in your Christian faith, you can't claim to be that and truly be that if you're showing that kind of partiality. Make sense? By the way, a little side note, that's why I get over here. When I'm there, I try to stay exactly what God says. When I'm over here, it's a little bit more opinion. That's the case, lightning strikes. Anyway, I cannot tell you how important front door ministry is. I cannot tell you how important I believe front door ministry is. Front door ministry is so important because when somebody comes to this church, somebody needs to be there to welcome them at the door, not only give them a bulletin, not only give them a smile, but because you believe that God has brought them here. See, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. None of us are here today by chance or luck. I can promise you that. And you may think I'm nuts. You just keep growing in your faith, and you're going to understand that's true. I believe every one of us are here today because God brought us. Some of you wanted to be somewhere else, but He got you here. And we need to value that. When you're at that door, when you're meeting and greeting people, you're looking into the eyes of somebody Jesus died for. Do you understand that? That ought to get us to react differently. I've lived long enough to know that not everybody likes me. Hard to believe. But that's true. Yeah. Keep your hand down. I know that to be true. And some of them I see on a regular basis. And I want to be really honest with you. I don't like some of them. But I look into their eyes, Jesus died for them. Please value each other. Oh, please. Please place value on each other. It's just so extremely important. And it's such an easy way to show that you're really a true believer. If you love one another, if you care about each other, and when someone comes to worship, I'm really grateful for the day in which we live when to some of you who may not like it, I'm grateful that we spend far less time worrying about what we wear to church. That's just a personal opinion. That's why I'm over here. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I beg you, be welcoming to each other. Understand that every one of us in this place has a variety of struggles. Your struggle is different than my struggle. My imperfections are different than yours. We all struggle. But you'll never look into the eyes of someone that Jesus didn't die for. Remember that. Second thing, verses 5 to 7, he talks about loving the powerless. And I love what he says here. He says, it's so important. Listen, he says, listen to me. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? And then he goes on to say, I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think about the very ones you're going to show special honor to, the very ones you're looking up to. I want you to think for a moment. Who oppresses you? Do you know why some of those people were so rich? Because they got the money from those who didn't have very much. Who oppresses you? Then he says, Who is trying to take away your security? They are. They're dragging you to court. They're taking you to court and they're suing you. And there was no lawyer for the poor. You understand that? They weren't appointed a special attorney who had 45. No. But the rich had. In fact, the rich were lawyers. Sorry. The rich were. And they would take a person to court over nothing. And they would take away their money. They would take away their houses. Remember when we studied the book of Mark? Remember the Pharisees? The Pharisees and the Sadducees who learned how to come alongside widows and play the game and take them for everything they had. That's what he's talking about. Why in the world would you bow down, worship these people when they're the ones who are oppressing you, putting you in bondage? They're the ones taking away all your money and putting you in court and putting you in jail. And not only that, listen. They claim to be Christian. And they're dishonoring the very name Christian. They're not acting like Christians. And so he says, begin to love the powerless. Later on, look at Galatians 3:28. I love what it says there. He wants us to understand this. The Apostle Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, but we're all one in Christ. Now, he's not talking about same-sex stuff. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, in God's eyes, in Christ, we are all one. Remember, you'll never look into the eyes of another person that Jesus didn't die for. That's what he's talking about. And if we can see each other from that perspective, does that change things? Sure it does. It changes how we treat one another. How does Jesus treat you? We'll get that into a moment. How does Jesus treat you? We need to love the powerless. The third thing. And I kind of tell you how important this is. We need to start living in mercy. Now, by the way, the word mercy is an interesting word. In the Greek, it means grace in action. And it has to do with that gracious compassion to one in need. Let me back up a minute. You ever been in need? Anybody here ever had a need? Yeah. If you're here today and you're a follower in Jesus Christ, there was a day, maybe it was a long time ago and you can't barely remember, maybe it was yesterday, but even as a believer, remember the day when you finally recognized that every sin that you had ever committed could be forgiven at the foot of the cross? Do you remember that day? I remember that day for my life. I was your pastor. I had been a Christian a long time. I studied the Bible. I knew a little bit about it. I knew that Jesus forgave. It's one thing to know that he forgave. It's another thing to what? Accept it. And some of us have lived lives and we think we're so bad and we're so horrible and we're so awful, and we come to Jesus and he forgives us of all of our sins. He doesn't remember them. What that simply means is he doesn't hold us accountable for them anymore. And he moves them as far as the east is from the west. And remember, the east and the west don't meet. I mean, it's gone. That is mercy. That's showing compassion to a person in need. Aren't you grateful for that? And if you have not accepted it, I beg you, don't let this day go by. If you're here as a believer in Jesus Christ and you're still living with guilt for what you used to be, get rid of it and accept the compassionate mercy of Jesus Christ. And he says, this same mercy that you and I have received, this is the same mercy that we're to give. And he says, you obey the royal law. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look back with me in the book of Matthew, and in chapter 22, Jesus talks about that. Remember? And let me just read this to you. Jesus is asked a question. What's the most important commandment? Remember? And in chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Now listen, second is equally important. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now this is important. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. If we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, James is saying that we won't show partiality, we won't show favoritism. We'll look beyond the superficial. We'll look beyond the beauty. We'll look beyond the ugliness. We'll look beyond what they're wearing. We'll look beyond where they work. We'll look beyond their position. We'll look beyond all of that. And we'll see a person that Jesus loves. And if they're a believer, they are what? My brother and my sister. Your brother, your sister. And if I am showing genuine faith, I'm going to love the powerless. I'm going to care for those who maybe can't care for themselves. I'm going to come alongside that person who has a need. And I'm going to be a need meter. I'm going to do whatever I can to help that person in their need. And then, because I've experienced the mercy of God, I'm going to live in mercy. This is true. I remember the day I was leading a singles camp, about 100 and some. It was incredible at Prairie View. And I was preaching on forgiveness and mercy. And God, I know there's some of you going to think I'm a little weird. You already do, so let me help you know I'm a little weirder. At that moment, I still remember it. It was as if God came down and covered me. And I began to weep. Dave Castlebury was there. He and I were leading it together. I began to weep. And nobody knew what to do, except Dave. He always knew what to do. It wasn't always right, but he always... But anyway, he came up and he put his arm around me. And he prayed, "God, thank you that Tom has finally accepted what you did for him a long time ago." When you come to that place, you'll look at people differently because you'll know what God has done for you. I'm going to close. Listen to this. Here's how we ought to live. Ephesians chapter 5. Imitate God. Mimic God. Know God's character, take on God's character, and live His character. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. I've got to stop there. What's the example of Christ? I'm not going to go back there. I had so much fun. Remember when we studied Mark? Remember the Gospel of Mark? And remember that the theme of that was that Jesus is the servant of all? And in chapter 10, verse 45, it says that Jesus came not to be served, but to what? To serve and offer His life as a ransom. And you start in chapter 1 and boom! The very first thing He does is He touches a man with leprosy. We're all wearing masks right now. And we're doing this and we're doing that. And my son is supposed to go to China in a couple of weeks. Thank God he's not going. I mean, everybody's wearing masks everywhere. And lepers were lepers. You didn't take a pill for it and get well. And they were feared and loathed. And here's a man with leprosy. And Jesus didn't say, "Stay right where you are. I'll heal you." No, what did He do? He went over and He embraced him. I don't know if my face that genuine. And then a chapter later, it's really, really cool. It's a Sabbath. And you got all these religious people around just waiting for Him to mess up. I mean, they're just following him around pencil and pad. They're just waiting for him to mess up. He's not done. He won't heal this guy. He won't heal this guy on Sunday. Stretch out your hand. His hand was well. Then he goes to a house filled with people. This is all in about three chapters, folks. I just went on and on. I promise I won't go on and on. Then he goes to a house filled with people. And there's this guy who can't walk upstairs. And his crew brought him. His friends loved him enough. They said, we're going to take him to Jesus. By the way, that's a good friend, isn't it? So I'm going to take him to Jesus. They couldn't get in downstairs. So what did they do? They started cutting through the roof. They lowered the man down. Jesus said, now get in line. Now, what'd he do? He said, get up and walk. Keep reading. Jesus cared about people. Live a life filled with following the example of Christ. He loved us, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. If we're going to have genuine faith, if people's lives are going to be changed, they're going to be changed because we look at them through the eyes of the Lord. Amen.